Welcome to the Rooted and Established podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Snyder, and I'm so glad you're here, taking time out of your busy life to join in the conversation. In this space, we'll discuss what it means to live a life rooted in Christ and what that looks like practically in the different areas of our lives. Through short, manageable episodes that you can listen to while doing the dishes or taking a shower, we'll talk about how to live our lives intentionally as Christ followers. My prayer is that in whatever roles we fill or responsibilities we have, no matter where we are planted, we will become rooted and established in Christ.
Ryan, welcome back to the show. This is actually your second time being on the podcast. We recorded one when we came out to visit you guys. We did one on friendship and our long distance friendship. And you're actually the first guest I've had back on the podcast. So this is exciting. Welcome back.
Wow. Well, that is an honor. It's glad to be back with you.
Brian and his wife, Danielle, and me, my husband, have been friends for years. And if you want to go listen to that episode, you absolutely can. But I wanted to have Brian on because he's been having quite the experience lately of walking out some faith steps and walking out some obedience steps to God. And so we're going to dive into that here in a bit. But Brian, would you just share a little bit about yourself again, kind of reintroduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Brian. I live in the Middle Tennessee area with my wife, three kids, my one-eyed pug named Princeton, and we're actually expecting our fourth boy here by the end of the year. So we're just having all the fun, and man, kids are fun, but they're wild.
House full of boys.
Oh gosh, they're keeping us on our toes for sure, but we're growing. We're growing.
Literally growing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Literally growing. Like, you know, figuring out, don't buy a cream colored chair when the baby is learning how to use a Sharpie.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a user error on our part, but you know, it's great. Lots of good stories.
We're just learning on the fly here as parents. It is for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, we are going to talk about this idea of faithful obedience and walking that out. You recently went through a major life change. So would you just share a little bit about that just to get us started?
Yeah. Well, recently I transitioned out of a really good paying job, a really good healthy workplace, as it were. And it wasn't because I didn't like somebody or that anything was going bad, but it was because I felt like the Lord was asking me to trust him to take a step in obedience. And the big change of it all is that there wasn't really anything else lined up. And anybody listening to this wouldn't know this about me, but I'm a type A firstborn, let's have a plan, measure three times, cut once kind of a person. So to take a step out in faith and obedience for the Lord to be like, hey, I'm going to take care of you. And for me not having an answer to the how, it's been a big month or so.
Yeah. Lots of questions and praying and just really seeking the Lord in that. Well, I think that often as Christ followers, as even just, I think our human nature, we have this fear of, you know, taking the next step until it is totally clear, totally laid out. Sometimes that's personality types as well, but I think we want to be sure. And before we take that leap, but in this case, you didn't know what was next. So how did this taking this step of faith, even when the future was unclear, how has that, you know, maybe been a challenge or grown your faith? What does that look like?
So it started actually even in the last couple of years that I was feeling this just kind of stirring that the Lord was asking me to do something different. And when I was praying about it, there had been this word trust that kept coming up. And, you know, that verse in Proverbs 3:5-6 with like, trust in the Lord in all your heart, lean not on your understanding. I was called to that. And at the time, like, I thought that it was just make a change or do something different. And I thought that meant, well, hey, step out of the job that I was in to a different job. But hey, it's not anything crazy, like leave the company. The company's fine. And on this side of it, I realized that the Lord was telling me whole different things. But when I was meeting with like a mentor of mine, I sat with them and I was like, man, you know, I really feel like I would love to be able to grab onto that next monkey bar that I'm on right now before I feel like I need to let go of the one that I'm holding on to right now. And he looked at me as mentors do and said, you know what? I know people like you that like to control things. I think sometimes the Lord needs you to let go of the one that you have before he gives you one that you need. And I did not like that. So it was probably another year. I mean, that was probably a year, year and a half ago. And it's more of the story as we go deeper into it. But I knew that the Lord had been asking me to do something. And I was telling other people, I felt like Jonah for the last year, that I heard clearly that he wanted me to give something up. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. That's uncomfortable. It's hard. Yeah. Why would I do that? I've got a family to take care of. I've got a baby on the way. Why would I do that? So yeah, it's been challenging, but I'm not sure I'm answering your question. What was the question?
No, that was great. I think that a lot of times when the Lord asks us to step out in obedience, it doesn't make sense to other people. It may not even make sense to ourselves. So did you come up against that a lot? Cause you're, like you said, it was a good company. It was a good job. Like there wasn't anything necessarily wrong with it. It was just that the season was coming to a close and the Lord was calling you to something else. Did you come up against maybe some opposition or even just people being confused? Like, why are you leaving? Why are you changing?
Yeah, a lot of it, as far as the counsel of others, I talked with some of my close confidants and my close group of circle of guys, and you know, everybody, they were all for it, but I really didn't kind of public poll this out too much to say like, hey, well, what should I do? I know that I sometimes can be swayed more by other people's opinion. And if I get too much of theirs, sometimes it can get me to second guess like what I feel like I'm being told to do or hearing what I should be doing. And so I intentionally tried to not ask too many people other than those that I trusted. So when it comes to, I mean, the questions that I think the biggest opposition was coming up was myself trying to like get past this idea of this doesn't feel like it makes sense.
Yeah.
That, you know, on paper or to the world standards or to this whole like, I've been told all my life, hey, don't leave a job until you have a job, kind of a thing. And this, everything for the wisdom side of things was feeling like it was going against the prudent, the practical, the wise, the knowledgeable, the academic answer that would say, hey, well, this is what you should be doing. And I really had to fight against, all right, well, what am I hearing then? Like, what am I actually being called to do? Because on paper, like this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And when my wife and I were talking through this, you know, one of the deciding factors was, hey, you know what, we have a baby on the way, and it's really easy to stay just hanging out in a job, get health insurance, not have to be unsettled with all that kind of a thing. And when I was just listening to what the Lord was saying, I felt like he was saying, hey, you know what? You're making a lot of decisions out of fear right now. And does a man of integrity just hide out in a job just for health insurance? Is that what he does? And I was like, no. And he's like, you said you trust me, right? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And he's like, do you think that I'm bigger than a paycheck and health insurance? And twice I was like, yeah, I do. And which led to some just fantastic conversations with my wife about like, what's going on here?
Well, and it's hard to, I mean, we can know God and trust God and still not step out in faith or still not make the move he's asking us to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's, we can have the head knowledge. We can, you know, be like, yeah, God, I know that you're bigger than this, but it doesn't take the fear away necessarily, or doesn't make the step of faith less scary. You know, it can feel very daunting because you're like, this is what I've always been told. This is what I've been taught. This is the prudent thing to do. Why would I quit my job without having something else lined up? And how often do we miss what God is doing because we're hanging on to that first rung of the monkey bar before we're given the next one? And it's like, sometimes like God just really shows up when we're at the end of our rope or when there's nothing else left for us to do. And it's like, God gets to show off because there is literally nothing else within our power that we can do. and taking that step of faith and that step of obedience may not make sense to anybody else. It may not make sense on paper or in our own head, but he just does, he does what only he can do with it.
It made me think that, like, the beginning of this year, I started listening to a podcast that just starts going through the Bible chronologically. Like, hey, let's listen to it all chronologically. It's called, like, the Bible Recap or something.
Yeah, I'm
like
doing
that.
It too. I love it.
Oh, man. She's great. It's so good.
Yeah, so good.
And just powering through a lot of the Old Testament that, frankly, I don't think I'd ever read before as I'm listening to it, as I'm going through there. And one of the themes that, I guess, kept showing up as I was going through there, right in the middle of all this decision process, was the continued folly that was the leaders of the time or the people that were making decisions to just jump into it without consulting with the Lord as to what was going to happen, and how it kept not working.
Yeah.
And how even with the best intentions, when they did things on their own, that it kept not working, but repeatedly when they sought God, when they looked for him and then he gave them an answer and then they acted, that's when he, you know, allowed nations to go and get conquered by people not lifting a hand because he drew them into confusion and he was able to do things that only he could. And I just couldn't, I couldn't get away from, in the season preceding the decision, I couldn't get away from these stories that kept coming up of saying, like, hey, you don't need to do anything. You just need to submit and humble yourself and be where I need you to be. And as I kept listening to that and as I kept seeing this, again, the fight got bigger because I'm like, I see what you're trying to say here and I don't like it.
Yeah.
Because those are stories for somebody else. Like, those are the things that you want to do in other people for their faithfulness so that you can be able to use them as a thing. Like, I don't want this. Like, I see what you're trying to do. I don't like this at all.
I hear you, but I don't like it.
Yeah, no, I hear it, so, and I hear other people having those stories. I don't. That doesn't need to be my story. That's
right.
Fine.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. No, thank you.
You mentioned a couple things, though: submission and humbling yourself. And I think those are two words that, as humans, as North Americans, we just don't like. We don't want to submit to another authority. We don't want to be humble. Humility is hard. Submission is hard, but it breeds so much goodness. Ultimately, it might be hard, a hard situation to walk through, but man, when we do submit and when we humble ourselves before the Lord, we become so much more available to what he has for us.
I think, I mean, back to the submission and the humbling, you're right. But for me, like, it just kept sitting in fear. Like, fear is what keeps me, or when I see other people, that it keeps them from wanting to do that. Because to be able to submit to somebody else's authority, to be able to humble your plan and your direction to somebody else, you kind of have to be able to trust that they're not going to mess you up and that they're not going to let you fall. And you know, I know, and I can tell on myself that when I'm not walking with the Lord the way that I should, I forget the foundation and the footing that I have in him, that I won't get dropped. Therefore, it's up to me. Therefore, I've got to keep a hand on it. And, you know, in those instances, in those seasons, submission doesn't make sense.
Right.
Until there's a, hey, well, remember whose you are, but remember, like, what he's capable of.
Yeah. Looking back on his faithfulness in the past.
Yeah. Looking on his faithfulness in the past, or even just, like, you know, the promises.
Yeah.
And, you know, I heard somebody say it in church, or somebody say it the other day, of a lot of people really like the God of the New Testament. A lot of people are wowed by the wonders of the God of the Old Testament, but they forget that those, that God of the old and the new is the same God today. And he can still do the same things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that in the modern day and age, I know that I, like, have that, I think Paul David Tripp calls it, like, you know, gospel amnesia or something, to where I forget, like, oh yeah, by the way, he's still the same. Like, by the way, like, his promises are always true. And by the way, like, he's not missing me. Like, he's not looking past me. He sees me. And it's just, it's easy to get going too fast.
Yeah. Well, and then we want to we have plans. We want to hold tight to those plans. We have our pride and our need to control. And so, and we have the fear of, well, I don't know what's coming next. I have the fear of being out of control. I have the fear of, you know, fill in the blank. And then we start operating from that fear. We start operating from the need to protect, the need to provide, the need to keep our pride, whatever. But we protect our pride more than we submit and humble ourselves to trust in him and whatever he's asking us to do. And this is all easier said than done. I wish it would be like, oh my God, well, yeah, here's a formula, just submit and you'll be fine. Like, it's just not that. It's simple, but it's not necessarily easy. And I think that being on this side and watching you guys walk through this has just really been encouraging in the sense of, it doesn't have to make sense to be the right thing. And just because that it feels hard or it doesn't make sense on paper doesn't mean it's wrong. It's still very much the right thing because that is what God's calling you to do.
Yeah. When I first told my wife about doing this, we had joked half-heartedly about it 6 months ago. I was like, what if I quit? And we just tried to figure it out on our own. I'm like, man, what a great story that would make, huh? And she looked at me and she's like, for goodness sakes, please don't do this just for a good story. And I was like, oh, no. I won't do it just for a good story. But after we stepped out and after the dust settled for a couple of days, I looked at her again and I was like, this is going to make an awesome story. She's like, yeah, it will. It'll make an awesome story.
Okay, so
it's all about perspective, I suppose.
Absolutely. Hindsight, right? But okay, so you stepped out in faith. You have been obedient to what the Lord is calling you to do, even if it was a little maybe delayed. There was obedience there. Talk to me about right now, because you're still very much like in this. Like, it wasn't like I took a step of faith and quit my job and then like I don't have to have any more faith. Like, you are still walking in faith. Like, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So it was interesting that right as I was about to transition out of my role, my leader and kind of like executive leadership at the time, they looked at me and they're like, hey, so, well, okay. Well, so what's your plan? And I was like, I don't have one. They're like, well, what do you have lined up? I'm like, I don't. I mean, I'd started a coaching business earlier this year in kind of like March and April, but it was meant to be a side business that, you know, I just wanted to make enough money to get my kids into swim team, like swim practice or something like that, swim lessons. And, you know, if it went full time, I was like, yeah, well, that's great. Eventually I could see in the next couple of years transitioning to that in full time. And then, you know, this situation happens and they're like, well, what are you going to do? I'm like, well, I mean, I could pour more gasoline on the coaching business and kind of see what the Lord's going to do with that. But right now, it's not a rock and a hard place, but like it's the areas of just like complete and total like open-handedness is that I'm looking at the Lord and said, hey, you were very clear that you needed me to not do this anymore and to lead into this. But it wasn't so that the coaching business would go full-time. And right now where we're walking through this daily trust is, does this mean that, you know, I'm going to put in a lot of work right now and the Lord's going to bless us with a full client load to be able to do this and serve people in this capacity. And this is now our full-time gig. Maybe. Does this also mean that, hey, there might be a need for another role and another job somewhere that gives me the flexibility to continue to build this on the side while I support my family? Like, in humility, I'm having to look and say, hey, that's an option as well. Whatever it takes to be able to take care of my family, I'm open towards, but right now I'm not clear on what exactly the, you know, paycheck replacement is going to be fully right now.
Well, and even just like you said, that daily open-handedness of like, God, I'm good with, you already did like the really hard part of quitting the job. So like, okay, God, like I'm open to what you have for us. And I'm going to continually taking these steps of faith. I'm going to continue growing this coaching business as long as you provide for that. I'm going to continue looking for jobs. And I think that so often we think, okay, I took the step of faith. I'm done. Everything's going to be fine and dandy. And that's not always the case. And I feel like probably the majority of the time, that's not always the case. You know, when we are living this life of faithful obedience, it's a daily thing. It can't just be a one-time thing, to be honest, whether it's a job situation, whether it's, you know, deciding to grow your family, or whether it's deciding to move or where to go to school or whatever it is that the Lord is calling you to do. It's got to be a daily faith step, a daily submission and humbling of ourselves and letting go of our pride and letting go of even our plans in order to allow God to do what only he can do, allow ourselves to be available, because you don't know what's coming, but very likely what's going to come, you wouldn't have been able to do if you were still full-time where you were.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
100%. I mean, we had heard even in the last probably month or two, they were doing like a series on Psalms in a church. And, you know, one of them was, you know, kind of that be still mm-hmm. and know that I'm God. And the pastor kind of picked it apart. And he's like, for the longest time when I was growing up, I heard be still and thought that it was a, like, you know, you're rocking a baby to sleep, like, shh, shh, be still, slow down. He's like, the original language is that more of like you're holding something. Think of like a sword or a spear or something. And be still is more of like the command of release.
Mm.
It's more of the command of like, you know, stop striving, let go.
Yeah.
And know that I'm God. And it was the direct parallel of like, stop striving, like, mm-hmm. stop trying to do it on your own. Like, do you trust that I'm going to be able to do it better than you could?
Yeah.
If I haven't said already, the Lord was kind of hitting the multiple ways, like within a month or two. I'm just like, okay, I get it. Stop it. But I wish that like a lot of this too, and I realize in the conversation that we're having that it's like, oh my gosh, you did these things and you stepped out and look at you and you're faithful. I have to let you know, like I'm not the, you know, kid that's always made decisions like this. And this is just another way that Brian's been faithful. Like this is very much a new experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, with a family and a growing family, like the stakes in my life, I feel like you've never been higher. And yet, like, there's a piece around this that really doesn't make sense to me,
mm-hmm.
which has been pretty cool.
Yeah. It's amazing how sometimes in the craziest situations or in the times when it makes the least amount of sense, it's like, that's when our faith grows the most. That's when we just grow deeper and we just, things just, they work out because we've given God control of the situation and we're living open-handedly. And like you said, that peace, man, like when you are walking in the will of God, that's so much better than any other place to be, because you know that he's got you and it may not make sense, but he's going to figure it out.
Preach. Yeah. Well,
this has been so encouraging. I know for us, like, personally, we have our own things that we're waiting on. And so just that idea of like relinquishing control and letting God lead. And I know that everyone has something, whether they're waiting on a miracle, whether they're waiting on an answer or guidance or peace about a situation, like everyone, even if it's not right now, they will face a situation where they are just waiting on the Lord. And I love this encouragement to just lean into him, trust in him and be obedient. Like, what, even if it doesn't make sense, the faithful obedience is what he has called us to. If there is one thing you wanted to just kind of leave us with today, what would you want to leave us with today as we wrap up this conversation?
I wish that I could leave you and those listening with a grand story of I did this and so this, or some type of a, you know, like you said, formula. The thing that I guess I'd leave you with is, in this transition, it's brought around a lot of opportunities for a lot of different conversations with people that are getting wind of it, or they had an idea, or you're doing what, and how about this, and what about that? And some people walking away feeling encouraged by it and saying, wow, man, that really encourages me. But on the other side, I've had a lot of people that have said, let me tell you about my story, that how we did this, and look at where the Lord showed up. And I guess the thing that I don't know if it's so much an action as much as it is like a in this decision and in these conversations have been able to receive so many different people sharing their God stories. And well, this is where the Lord had us do this with our family, or we're called to move here and our family didn't get it. And all of these kind of stories, like my encouragement is like, these stories are everywhere. Mm-hmm. And if people have the opportunity to lean into those closest to those, like those close to you very well probably have stories like this that I'd love for you to hear.
Yeah,
because they've been so encouraging to me in this and enough to be able to bring home and tell my wife, like, hey, this person told me this and man, this is how it showed up to me. And it's just been really encouraging to hear those stories.
Well, I think you make a good point, because in your situation, you were able to hear from people who had kind of come through and could look at hindsight and share the end result. But I think there's a lot of power in sharing our testimony when we're still in the messy middle of it and saying, mm-hmm. like, look, I don't have it all figured out. I don't know the answers to all of this, but I trust that God does. And that I think is just as powerful than, you know, even being able to say like, look, I did this and then God did this, you know, that's great. But what about in the middle? And that's where I think people often need to hear the encouragement from, is from the people who are still in the middle of it.
Well, I can't tell you what, but like, there are so many people that I can't stand the I have it all together people. Like I can't stand the look at how perfect it is. Look at how great it turned out. All this kind of a stuff like that. Like I relate so much more to the people that are like, wow, oh, that didn't work. Let me show you what version 2 is going to look like. Or let me tell you about like, you know, how this didn't work. Or wow, like yeah. really whiffed it on that one. And just, yeah, encouragement is just be real. Be vulnerable, like be authentic, try new things and be scared at it, man.
Do stuff. It scared. Do it scared.
Do it scared.
We promise you won't die.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, that got real, real quick. I hope that's not the case, but hey, you know, well, day by day.
Well, thank you again so much for hanging out with us. Real quick, would you share with us something that, like a resource or something that you're loving right now that is helping you stay rooted in Christ?
The resource, and I said this a few moments ago, but I'm really digging the podcast, The Bible Recap.
So good.
Right now by, I think, Tara Lee Cobble, mm-hmm. D Groups and such like that. And just the idea of it being that it's not about to help you grow your knowledge of scripture, but it's about helping you to be able to see the personhood and who like God is throughout all of scripture, mm-hmm. and to get to be able to grow in your relationship with him. And from somebody who can very easily slip into an academic, what can I learn? What do I need to know? How can I grow kind of standpoint? It's been super encouraging, but refreshing to say, all right, it's not about knowledge. It's about knowing who he is.
Absolutely.
And that's been super good.
Yep. I 100% agree. I love the Bible Recap. I'm a big fan. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Big fan.
Thanks again so much for hanging and for chatting about this and sharing your story, even while you're in the middle of it. It's so encouraging and I so appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Now, I know you're not on social media, but if people want to connect with you, is there a way they can connect with you?
Yeah. So the only social media that I'm on these days is LinkedIn.
All right.
You know, there's that. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to connect with me on there. Yeah, that's really it. I'm trying to think, like, is there any other way other than like spelling LinkedIn. Out an email address? But like LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the best one.
Perfect. All right. You're like the anti-millennial not being on social media. Yeah. I love it. That's
oh
great.
Gosh. Well, and again, this is because I found that it was like just taking so much of my time and I was turning into like a phone zombie.
Yeah.
So like this was strategic in the like, I thought it was great and my life was wasting away. So
I feel you. I feel you on that. Yeah. Well, thanks again. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Rooted and Established podcast. As always, I'm so grateful you took time to listen. I would be honored if you take a moment to leave a 5-star rating and positive review. This helps other potential listeners know that this is a podcast worth listening to. And while you're at it, screenshot the podcast and put it on your social media or stories to share with your friends. That is worth 1,000 thank yous. But if you tag me, I'll be sure to personally thank you myself. I hope you have a great week, and we'll chat again soon.